This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Business as a force for good. This is the rallying call of the United Nations Global Compact, an international initiative to galvanize the private sector to prioritize the triple bottom line: people, planet, and profits. But given the magnitude of the climate crisis and other long-standing structural economic problems such as inequality, are businesses truly pulling their weight in addressing these challenges, or is it lip service? Feruz Nadar, Executive Director at the UN Global Compact Network Malaysia and Brunei, joins me today to discuss the role that private sector should be playing in sustainable development. Feruz, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Hi, Shazana. Thank you for having me here.
Let's start with just getting an understanding of what the UN Global Compact is. Could you give me an elevator pitch? So keeping it short, where does the UN Global Compact sit in the constellation of agencies and initiatives under the banner of the United Nations?
Right. So the UN Global Compact is an initiative directly under the office of the UN Secretary General, right? So we were created three secretary generals ago under the late Kofi Annan, because there's a realization that there's not one focus program for the UN dedicated towards engaging the private sector to be key actors in contributing towards sustainable development, right? So we're about 22 years old this year, and we primarily focus on the business stakeholders, both large and small, with the intention is to raise their sustainability ambition and to support them in their sustainability performance as well. And how we operate is that we are very decentralized in approach. So every country has its own local network. So there's now 69 local networks globally. And I head the Malaysia and Brunei network. So what we do is that we kind of bring global programs down to Malaysia and Brunei. But we also develop customized or localized programs that is befit the local sustainability landscape as well.
Okay, I want to talk about the definition or the meaning behind sustainability itself. So the Global Compact is, it touts itself as the largest corporate sustainability initiative in the world. But is there a common understanding of what corporate sustainability actually means? How is this defined under the UNGC?
So yes, there is a challenge when it comes to a common definition because businesses are different, right? I'm an advocate that, you know, it's not easy to have a common language across board because there's so many different types of businesses. But we do our best, right? So what we try to advocate is that immaterial sector agnostic, size agnostic, you need to look at 10 principles of good businesses, right? So UNGC, we advocate these 10 principles, which revolves around human rights, anti-corruption, environment, and labor. So we use that as our common language in terms of engaging the private sector. But of course, we have coupled it very closely with the sustainable development goals. So we kind of look at how the principle-based approach can contribute for private sector actors to achieving the SDGs as well. So that's our common language. Yeah.
We often hear these days the term ESG or environment, social and governance principles. Right. Is this interchangeable with corporate sustainability? Should we understand ESG and corporate sustainability to be one and the same?
Right. So I think the important approach is that we've got to hinge sustainability now to performance. I think that has not been talked very loudly, right? So we need to achieve a sustainability performance, right? So this is where the interconnections happen, right? So ESG is actually a data sets of your actions that you're taking towards becoming more sustainable, right? Which will demonstrate whether or not you're achieving a sustainable performance that you have set yourself. And the performance is actually guided and binded to the sustainable development goals, right? Now, what is missing between the ESG and performance approach is actually target setting, right? And this is where every private sector can customize in terms of what is relevant to their business, but it's important to have this target setting approach. And this target setting is actually driven by the purpose agenda of the business. So I would say that ESG is data sets, coupled with purpose-led target setting for urgent actions, will drive your sustainability performance to achieve the SDGs.
Okay. From what I understand from what you're telling me, I mean, the act of being sustainable, it's really very much individual business driven. There isn't really like a one size fits all template for every single business. It's something that each and every business needs to delve into on their own and find a strategy or a plan that works for them, essentially.
I would say that would be the larger approach to things because each business, as I mentioned, is unique. However, there will be a few commonalities across board, right? Especially if you look now, you know, climate change, for example, is something that is common. It doesn't matter what's your size or where you are. You've got to take that very seriously, right? Human rights is another issue. So this is where our principles come into the picture, right? So although you may have dedicated or differentiated strategies depending on the sector and the business you operate in, the principles become the foundation and the bedrock for you to derive these different type of strategies or approaches.
Understood. So that's what the UN Global Compact 10 principles are for. It's to provide that guiding principles, that sort of pillar that businesses can build their strategies around.
So exactly, yeah.
I want to talk about the issue of greenwashing, because I think this has come to the forefront with initiatives like the UN Global Compact that businesses sign up to, and then they can use that as a badge that they have done their part for sustainable development, for example. But the cynic in me sees these kinds of initiatives as just that. It's more surface rather than substance. So businesses do remain profit-driven. You know, how genuine is this push for corporate sustainability under the Global Compact?
Right. I think first is that there's nothing wrong to be profitable. That's my personal stand, right? I mean, a business is there to profit, right? And we should not hide behind the fact or be shy behind the fact. I think the issue is, how is that profit derived, right? And of course, the second question is, how much profit, right? And you're right. There are many companies who, you know, maybe over-exaggerate the sustainability actions that they are taken. In fact, you know, not just greenwashing. In the UN setup, there's this blue washing, right? Just because by association, you claim many things. Now, I just want to put some expectation caveats. We are not a policing platform, right? So we do not police individual actions. Of course, if you cross a certain... We will not tolerate in-your-face issues, right? But our approach is inclusivity, right? Because what we want to do is that we want to motivate and ensure everybody wants to do this, right? Now, if we take a hard stance that, oh, you know, you are terminally ill from a sustainability perspective, now this company will still be in existence. They will still do the negative things that we do. And they say, no, we've got to engage them to make sure that they kind of stop these negative approaches that they are taking. So our approach is very inclusive from that approach. Now, in terms of, as you mentioned, form over substance, right? We understand this. These are some of the challenges that we are seeing as well. So what we are doing is that moving forward, we are tightening our reporting processes, right? So if you're part of our membership base, you'll actually be required to share a bit more disclosure and data-driven examples of how you are aligning and contributing towards our 10 principles. And this will be made publicly available because we believe very much in the concept of transparency, right? At the end of the day, when you talk about certifications or these kind of things, these are very nice documents that companies can still hide behind. So how do we drive transparency of sustainable action? I think that's the key thing that we are looking at, and it's something that we are investing towards, leveraging technology to scale it up so that it becomes what they call it, cost-effective and also easy to use for our thousands of members moving forward.
One of the criticisms of the Global Compact is that it's voluntary in nature. There's no compulsion for companies to sign on to the 10 principles or even implement them. Membership isn't free. There is a fee to be involved to be part of the UNGC. So what would you say is the draw for companies to commit to the Global Compact?
So I'll tackle the contribution question first, right? Well, you know, there is a value that we hope to see bringing to our members, right? So for example, right, every single employee of our members have access to our Digital Learning Academy, right? So it doesn't matter whether you are 10, 100 or 10,000, every single employee have access to our digital learning, which actually, you know, if you put a ratio basis of a contribution to number of employees, actually brings down the contribution to a very negligible cost, right? The second approach that we take is an equality approach in our contribution tier, right? So effectively, we say the more revenue you make, the higher your annual contribution becomes, right? So we try to embed it in. So yes, there is a contribution, but we are quite confident that the value that we bring for the contribution is much higher than what is being asked for, right, on that basis. Now, in terms of voluntary approach, yes, I mean, we are from the day one, we are voluntary in nature. Of course, I would love for it to be mandatory, right? But I think this is where the challenge lies, because there is a lot of similar type of platforms, right? And I think businesses should have the flexibility to decide which brings most value to them, right? Now, we are very cognizant of the fact that we service the private sector, right? And private sector is very value driven in terms of, you know, ROI and getting the bang for the buck, right? So therefore, I think we ourselves are motivated to demonstrate that, look, you know, we are bringing value, right, from this perspective, and we don't monopolize by becoming a mandatory approach, you know. So we are always on our toes to ensure that if we want to have annual contributions, how then do we demonstrate the value for every single ringgit that the companies are paying to us? So we're very cognizant to that fact.
Okay. I'm speaking to Feroz Nadar, Executive Director of the UN Global Compact Network, Malaysia and Brunei. When we come back, we zoom into the corporate sustainability landscape in Malaysia and whether businesses are rising up to the challenges of sustainable development. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You're listening to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and joining me on the show today is Feroz Nadar, Executive Director of the UN Global Compact Network, Malaysia and Brunei. The UN Global Compact is described as the largest corporate sustainability initiative in the world. It's been around for 20 years, Feroz, with over 15,000 businesses that have committed to the 10 principles to date, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation. Yet, if we look at Malaysia, Malaysia only has 118 companies on the list, which is arguably a poor showing for two decades. Yeah. Why hasn't there been more interest in the Global Compact among Malaysian corporates?
Well, I'm going to say that there is a growing interest, right? I think if you got to maybe break down the numbers a bit. So this is, I've been in this position since late 2019. So when I took over, there's only about 30 odd members. And now we have about 116 plus. So that's, I would say, a significant growth in 2 years on this. So there is growing awareness and interest to be part of our membership base, right? Now, is this moving fast enough? Of course, I would always say that you can always move faster, right? But of course, some of the challenges in terms has always been that because we are not a free platform, perhaps the growth is could not be as fast as we hope for it to be on this end, because there's always, you know, considerations of value for contribution and things like that. But, you know, I must say, despite the COVID challenges, we hit growth numbers. And in fact, last year we were the fastest growing network in the Asia Pacific region. I think this is testament to the fact that Malaysian companies are being serious about sustainability issues moving forward as well. I think some of the perhaps challenges that companies perceive about this is that, oh, you know, if you become part of this, then you are going to be policed, and then you will have to do whatever it is that you are going to do. I think, again, these are all, I think, mental blocks that we are hoping to overcome as we introduce more and more programs to our members and also to broader private sector stakeholders as well.
Can you give us some detail about the kinds of companies that have been signing to the Global Compact in Malaysia? What are some of the trends that you see? In which sectors do you see a greater push for corporate sustainability?
Okay, so in terms of sector and push, I suppose I will just box it in terms of membership growth, right? So you've seen a lot of growth in the construction sector, for example. We've also now seeing interest from the banking side on this. But again, I always like to say that we are an inclusive platform in which we do have SMEs and private and corporates, right? So that, you know, that smaller and mid-sized companies may not necessarily be afraid that we're only a big company approach platform. In fact, our next 3-year strategy for the UNGC globally is actually to engage smaller and mid-sized companies to come on board, because, you know, they are the ones that require a lot of support when it comes to sustainability. So this is something that we are working with a couple of government agencies, but primarily with SME Corp, right? Late last year, we've soft launched something called the Action Center for Sustainable SMEs. See, because at the end of the day, a corporate cannot be sustainable without their supply chain involvement as well, right? But SMEs are a different breed of companies when it comes to sustainability. You can't use the same brushstroke and expectation across board, right? So SMEs are very clear. You need to incentivize them towards taking sustainable actions. So working with SME Corp, we have developed a program in which we are creating an ecosystem for corporates to drive sustainability through their supply chain. First, by providing assessments to your SME suppliers to understand their sustainability maturity. And second is, based on a different level of maturity, unlocking various incentives from a sustainability perspective. So, for example, we're working with Alliance Bank to look at sustainable financing for sustainable suppliers. SME Corp is looking at targeted grants to drive their sustainability actions as well, right? The other corporates can perhaps come in, not so much with monetary incentives, but it could be things like Green Lane or what they call it, or preferred suppliers, or, you know, enhance branding and reputational approaches. So the SMEs see a clear line of sight. If I move further up the maturity chain, I also will have additional benefits to my organization as well on this. So this is something that we are working towards. It's a digital-driven dashboard approach, so that we have an ecosystem to support the supply chain engagement for private sector as well.
And this is accessible if SMEs sign up to the Global Compact?
No, this is complimentary for all SMEs.
Okay, so you don't have to pay the membership fee to access this. This is something they can get, they can access on their own.
Yep. So we are cognizant of the fact that, you know, we can't push the needle with small number of companies. So this is made available for all SMEs free of charge, right? So we want to reduce the excuse of cost of inaction, because it costs. So now there's no more reason why you should not do it because of cost.
Okay, so there are pathways for SMEs who are genuinely interested to pursue sustainable practice.
So this is a pathway for SMEs, but also a plug-in for sustainable supply chains. Therefore, it will immediately benefit corporates as well.
In the Malaysian context, Firuz, what sustainability challenges do you think need to be prioritized? Because there are so many, and I suppose based on your engagement and observations with the business community, where do you see the gaps in terms of businesses taking action on certain sustainability issues?
Right. So for me, Shazana, I think the gap actually is from an emotional side, right? I think for a long time, we've tried to go on a narrative that doing sustainability is good for business, right? But, you know, there's so much of number and data that shows that sustainability is good for business, but the needle is not moving as fast as it can, right? And for me, you know, as I internalize this with my engagement with C-suites and sustainability practitioners, I think the missing link actually is an emotional piece. And I think we need to shift the narrative that being unsustainable is bad for business, right? So that emotional piece is missing, right? And in my engagement with many decision makers, right, when I ask them, so why are you embarking on sustainability, right? And common answer is actually, oh, no, because, you know, one day my child or my grandchild actually asked me, what am I doing about things like this, right? So that emotional thing is very, very important. So we one of the things that we need to transform is this mental, mental models on sustainability, right? We got to shift the mental models that being unsustainable is bad for business. Therefore, you have to do it no matter what, right? Mm. And I think the recent floods have added another impetus for this, right? The challenge is always, you know, visualizing something when you talk about, for example, net zero 2050. I mean, 2050 is what? 30 years more to come, right? Mm. It's hard for us to grasp something that is so far off, right? But when it's in our face, in it today, right? I think that really gives us that emotional acceptance that, no, it's going to hit us. It's going to be us that got to make the right decision making. So this mental model to accept that the half-life of sustainability impact is getting shorter and shorter. Mm. And we are the generation to make the right decisions. We are no more the generations to create a pathway for the next generation to make decisions. No more. We are the generation today. So I think the first thing that we need to shift is this mental model to the emotional piece that sustainability is important. And everyone is an actor to contribute. As a matter, the size of your business can contribute to this global agenda. Yeah.
Okay, so that's something that that you are working on as the UN Global Compact Network head here to help businesses make that switch. So the UN Global Compact is all about private sector action, but at the same time, it can't be denied that governments are still supposed to lead in terms of policy direction and signaling to businesses. So if we look at Malaysia, what is your assessment of how the Malaysian government is incentivizing businesses to adopt sustainable practices? Do you think that the government is doing enough? And what more should the government be doing to ensure clarity and cohesiveness in its policy to achieve SDGs?
Right. So I think the government is doing a number of interesting initiatives, right, to push the SDG and sustainable development to the forefront. I think, for example, you know, the budget is now being mapped against SDG goals, right? There are a number of incentives to put in place, you know, with the announcement of the voluntary carbon markets and things like that. So that, and you know, the update of the Malaysian Code Corporate Governance now says there's best practices in terms of sustainability at board level as well. So this all has created the right conditions in terms of sustainability on corporates and SMEs to see sustainability is important moving forward. But again, I think some of the challenges that needs to be overcome is, again, the focus is very much on green, right? Environment is only one portion of sustainability, right? So there's an over-focus on green and green technology in particular. I think that needs to be spread out a bit in terms of the social aspect of the S in G as well. So we got to also you know, increase the visibility and support in terms of, you know, gender equality, human rights, you know, fair labor conditions and things like that as well. I also feel that the government could also perhaps enhance the coordination work between private sector and policymaker engagement. There seems to be some gap in certain things, right? It's just about bringing more private sector voice to discussions, to input, to drive this better together as a collective agenda as well, right? Now, as much as we keep saying that the government should do more, right? I think sustainability cannot just be a government-led thing, right? I think the private sector themselves also need to be cognizant of the fact that just like private sector, governments also, you know, they have their limitations with resources and things like that. And this is where the UNGC sees the true value of private sector, right? As an independent force for good, irrespective of whether there is regulation or there is you know, there is laws or disincentives put in place by policy makers, right? At the end of the day, businesses could be sovereign in a sense in their decision making, right? So you don't actually need regulation to come and say, oh, these kind of things. You can make the right decisions without this, and we are seeing instances of this. Like, for example, you know, a number of Malaysian companies are committing to net zero even before the 12 Malaysia plan announcement that we are being a carbon neutral and a net zero nation as well. I mean, these are independent actions that was taken. Over the past 2 years, we have engaged about six corporates to commit to science-based targets. Now, this is the gold standard of climate action, right? They did it on their own accord, right? So this is where that true power. So it's as much as we can go on stage and say blah blah blah, right? I think we also need to be cognizant that we also need to come to the government with certain solutions, and we want to work proactively as a partnership approach, which is SDG17, a partnership approach moving forward as well.
All right, Feroz, you have your work cut out for you. There's a lot to keep you occupied in the years ahead, and I hope that we can catch up in the future on how this is all playing out. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Shazana.
I've been speaking to Feroz Nadar, Executive Director of the UN Global Compact Network, Malaysia and Brunei. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.